This is our first episode.
It's our first episode. First ever.
Are you excited?
I'm ecstatic.
Me too. That'd be great.
I threw an X on there. I'm so excited. I'm ecstatic.
X.
I'm ecstatic.
Yeah. This is the first episode of the rest of our lives.
Just this is it. As soon as this is done.
This is it. So this is Tub and Jonesy watch movies.
I'm Tub.
And I'm Jonesy.
And we watch movies.
We did a pretty good job.
That was kind of nailing it.
It was, I mean, it's corny, but it worked.
Hey, I like it. It has soul. It has soul, and it's cute, and it's likable.
It's cute, and it's honest.
It's real honest.
It's very straightforward.
Pulls no punches.
It really doesn't. How was your week?
It was okay. I mean, all things considered, because let's roll it back a little bit. Let's go back the week before, because we were supposed to do this last week. And then yes. I got de-COVIDed. Well, not de-COVIDed, but I got the vaccine. My round two, okay?
Your round two.
My round two of the Pfizer go-go shot.
And you had a near-death experience.
Yep. And I'm glad I got it. I'm glad it's over, but holy shit. There was like the first day afterwards, I was a little tired. I was a little cold. I just didn't want to get out of bed. But then I was like, okay, this isn't going to be that bad. And then the next day happened, and I can remember, it was like I had a fever dream for the next 4 or 5 days. I was so fatigued. I was just drinking water, going to the bathroom, didn't feel like eating, cuddled up in blankets, just like, let this be over. And I was really mad, too, because not only did I have to postpone us recording the podcast, but I just bought Resident Evil Village, too, and I just got real, like, thick up in that. And then the sickness happened, and so I wasn't really able to give that the nurturing time that it needed in the gaming zone. So
tragic.
It was quite tragic.
Yeah, I have my second shot tomorrow morning.
You're gonna breeze. Yeah. You're gonna breeze through it.
That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah, the first shot, I was so exhausted that I kept making like mistakes, and having to do your shot on a Thursday morning, so you still have like the rest of that day and then Friday. I'm not looking forward to it. I hope I don't fuck things up. Plus, we have like a really busy week next week, so I really can't afford to fuck anything up. Yeah, so basically my job is just never ending. And so if I'm sick, I guess I just have to push through it.
Yeah, you gotta pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go to work.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Yep. Gotta pay these bills.
Yep. Gotta get that, secure the bag.
Gotta secure the bag, man. Yeah, I have gotten really socially exhausted, actually, over this past week with work. Because when I'm working, I am being emailed. We have Slack, which is like the internal messaging system. Mm-hmm. We have the office calls. My cell phone gets called, and I get text messages. So all day I am being like bombarded from six other places. Yeah. So hopefully I am still living by next week after my second dose of Team Pfizer.
Yeah, let's hope. Or we get abducted by UFOs and we're on location for the next one.
Okay. Why aren't more people excited about the UFO thing?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not, to be honest, I'll throw it out there. I'm not like super excited about it.
Why?
Because
why?
I feel like it's an inevitability thing where it's like I've always been like, you know, oh, it just is that way. And like, but I also don't think it's aliens.
Why not?
Because I think aliens, like, I don't know. I don't think of aliens the way that most people think of aliens. I think if we were going to get like some sort of alien life, it'd be like some sort of like
amoeba.
Yes. Or some bullshit that's going to evolve over like 10,000 years and sprout and like kill us.
Well, like a virus. Like,
no, COVID. Maybe. Space aliens, confirmed.
Well, I think they've seen evidence of life in like water on Mars. Well,
yeah,
right?
There was something like, about like something one of the rovers like ran over a mushroom or something.
Was it a full mushroom? I thought it was like something in like swimming in water or in the ice or something like that.
Damn.
Or a fossil or something. But it's like a tiny little not exciting life
okay,
form
well,
in water.
I'll put it this way. If it is aliens, I'm super excited. And I kind of hope it is aliens, because if it's just like, if it's just some like Elon Musk drone bullshit, I'm over it.
I think, well, so I have believed in aliens since I was like a little kid. Yeah. And I've always believed that the Pentagon is like hiding secrets. Like, I'm a totally conspiracy theorist with aliens.
They probably are.
But they are like, but they're saying it now. They're releasing files like, yeah, sorry. Yeah, we didn't know what this shit was. We didn't know what that shit was.
We've just been gaslighting you for years about this.
They've literally been gaslighting us for decades about this. But I feel like 2020 and 2021 has been so insane that they're like, now's a good time.
That makes sense. I mean, because that's how they conduct business. I think I'm just like too tranquilo for it to like hit me. Yeah. Like, I think maybe
you're in shock. Maybe it's
or
the
I'm the alien.
You're the alien.
And I'm just like, this is like, I'm just unfazed by it. I
think it's about time.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that I'm still going is kind of like a marvel of science.
When I read those articles that are coming out, I have to double check that it's actually like CNN and it's not some random website. Oh. Like, you're like, this is
like those tabloid magazines that they have when you walk past like a Walmart and it's like, Mother Teresa was found in a cinnamon roll 30 years ago. My aunt used to read those. She'd have them all the time. I used to actually take some of them, though, because some of them were fun and they would have like Loch Ness monsters and Bigfoot and stuff.
Yeah. No, I loved it. And my mom would always like really discourage it. It was almost like porn. Like, it was like, don't look at that.
It kind of is, because there is some insane shit in those for sure. But then there's
stuff.
Like a
red button feeling, though, where you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to look at the National Enquirer. But what's in here? My mom was like, please don't be white trash. And I was like, I love Cops. She was like, oh my God. Oh, I used to love that show. My mom was like, what the fuck? But yeah, so that's, I guess, getting fully vaccinated. That's the new thing. That's the cool thing. That's what's new for both of us.
And I did it. And you're going to do it.
And I'm going to do it. So, and we're both Team Pfizer. So everyone else is a fucking loser.
Yeah. Yep. I'm on a team. I get, like, that's what everybody's been telling me, all my Pfizer people. They're like, you're on the team. And I'm like, didn't know we were playing ball, but. Laces out.
We take it seriously, yeah.
Yep.
Like Team Moderna, I'm like, lose my number.
Here at Team Simp Pharmaceutical, we take this very seriously.
I heard like really fucked up things about the Johnson & Johnson one. I heard that someone like lost all their skin or something. Did you see that? I wanted that Johnson & Johnson one though, but then I saw that someone like their skin all burnt off or something. Like their skin came off. Like all of it.
It's terrifying. You look like the guy, you look like the cheating brother or whatever in Hellraiser.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah. So that sucks, that poor man. But he didn't get COVID.
Right. No. Yeah. Hey.
It's a trade off.
You know, you win some.
Exactly. Who needs skin? So quick spoiler free synopsis. This week we watched Willy's Wonderland. This is our first movie.
It's your birthday.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's your birthday.
So basically this story is about, it's Nick Cage, first of all, which is half the exciting part of the entire movie.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Basically he gets tricked into cleaning a Chuck E. Cheese, an off-brand Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, that's fair enough, I would say.
I mean, what else do you say for a spoiler-free synopsis of this movie?
Well, yeah, he basically gets his car gets fucked up. He needs to fix it. The only way he can fix it is by lending a hand to a guy named Tex and cleaning up his restaurant.
Strikes up a deal.
And if he can make it through the night, he gets a repaired whip.
Yeah. Classic trade-off there.
That's basically bare-bones synopsis with no spoilers.
Yeah.
Other than the car. Sorry about the spoiler about the car from the first five seconds of the movie.
You fucked it up. You ruined it. Well, yeah. So what do you think? After here, we in the spoiler zone?
Yep,
if you haven't watched it yet, watch it now.
Yeah,
and then
if you haven't watched it yet, pause this. Yeah. Go watch it. You can find it. If I found it, you can find it. It's on Vudu. It's on
Amazon.
Believe
in yourself. It's 2021. Everything. You can do anything.
You can do this. If you made it through all this shit,
yeah,
you got this.
Apply yourself.
You can find this movie.
Yeah.
But that's basically it. So be warned.
Yeah.
This is the spoiler zone.
Yeah. Let's kick it off. So have you seen the movie Pooka?
Yeah.
That's the vibes I got immediately from this movie.
I forgot about Pooka until you just brought it up.
Yeah.
And yes, I do get that vibe.
It was better than Pooka, but...
Yes, it was. But straight off the bat, let's get this out of the way. How familiar are you with Five Nights at Freddy's?
Five Nights at Freddy's?
Five Nights at Freddy's. It's a video game.
I've never played it, no.
From 2014.
Okay.
About a security guard that has to stay overnight for, I think, 5 days at a rundown old children's amusement restaurant.
What the fuck?
With animatronics that chase you around at night and try to kill you.
Really?
Yes. And so this movie is very, very similar to that.
Is it associated at all, or is it
a ripoff? No. Oh. And the director and the writer both said that it's like they don't see the resemblance. What? But
it sounds exactly the same.
But I will say this, then you get the whole Nick Cage thing, and then it really does flip it to another level, though. So it's not like a one-to-one, like you're like they're killing you in that game, and this, he's the one kicking all the ass.
Yeah, Nick Cage does bring his own special flavor to anything he's in.
So yeah, I would say like Five Nights at Freddy's, Pooka, and then I would even throw in like a super budget Mandy.
Yeah.
In a way with like
I
toys.
Thought Mandy was and, like, 1,000 times better than this film though.
Oh,
Mandy. Comparison.
I hesitated even bringing it up because Mandy's great.
Don't be disrespectful.
But no, Mandy's amazing.
Yeah,
but
so
like
good.
The way colors were used in Mandy, this reminds me of like the great value version of like throwing colors filters on and just kind of throwing.
That
out.
I was gonna say filters.
So,
it reminded
so
me of
washed.
An Instagram filter.
Or like they have like a fisheye,
yeah,
like a fisheye lens to where it's like, oh my god, am I at sea? Am I gonna get nauseous? Am I gonna throw up off the
it
boat?
It almost gave this feeling of like it was a student film.
A little bit. Well, it was based on a 1 minute short film.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I actually watched. I actually watched right before we did this. And yeah, it's seriously 1 minute. The dude walks in. He's cleaning up. Robot talks some shit like, oh, I'm going to eat you or something. And then I don't remember what happens. He decided he wasn't satisfied with that either, though, the writer. He wanted to do a little more. So he had it pitched to a website, I forgot exactly which one it was, where like Hollywood horror people or just can kind of look at scripts and see what they like and maybe they decide to want to produce something. And I guess that's what happened where Nicolas Cage got a hold of it and he's like, I want to do this movie with your animatronics and I'm not going to say a word.
Yeah, that was the thing. So yeah, he didn't say anything the entire movie.
Nope, he has some very awesome grunts, but we'll get to that, you know, as
I
we
thought,
start.
Yeah, that was a here. Really interesting stylistic choice.
I kind of like it.
I do too.
I do.
I thought it was a really creative thing. I was waiting to see if he was going to say like one thing at the end and like, but no, nothing. I had to point out that Siren Sarah had no H, which I really appreciated because I also do not have an H.
She doesn't have an age.
An H. Sarah without an H.
Oh, an H. Oh, the name.
Yeah.
I thought she had no age.
No age. And I too am ageless.
You're right. Like, ageless and without an H.
Yeah, no age. I thought that was really fun.
It is. It's a fun movie.
It was a fun movie.
I didn't
hate it. I did hate the teenagers. I thought the acting
was
awful.
Oh, they're horrible.
Awful.
And I kind of waver as to, like, I think it's self-aware. Like, I think most horror movies, to an extent, this is barely horror, though, too.
I mean,
it is, but it's not scary remotely.
I mean, they used a lot of, like, classic horror tropes.
Oh, yeah, it's tropey. And that's where I think it is self-aware. I think it's meant to be more of, like, a fun, you know, kick back and choke on some popcorn.
Right.
Kind of movie.
Yeah.
because I wanted to be pretty brutal with some of the stuff, but really it's basically just like the lens flares and stuff that really I couldn't take too much.
Yeah, and the terrible and color gradient stuff. Yeah.
But other than that, it's a pretty fun movie, and Nicolas Cage is really, you know, he'll take any role and he'll give it 100%. So
he
did exactly that.
Full Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Even without saying any words.
No, doesn't need to.
I did notice towards the beginning a continuity error. Did you notice? Towards the beginning, you know that scene where he starts cleaning? It's like right when he kind of starts, before he even kills the first animatronic.
Oh, yeah. The cleaning montage.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There is a scene where he's like, the camera is like Nick Cage is looking down into the sink, and it's as though the camera angle is coming from the inside of the sink looking up.
Yes.
He is wearing the little duct tape stripe, the like little, what is it, like the Nelly stripe on his face.
Yeah, from the ostrich, right?
Yeah, but he's wearing it before he kills the ostrich. Because I remember I noticed it, and I was just thinking, like, this is very Nelly 2009. And then later on, he actually fights the ostrich, kills the ostrich, cuts his cheek, and puts duct tape on it. So that was an actual continuity error in the film.
Good catch.
Thank you.
They should have played Hot in Her.
They should have. It was playing in my head. But if you want to check my work, it's at 17 minutes and 57 seconds.
Oh, we're busting out time
stamps. We got time stamps on this bitch. He doesn't put the tape on until 23:11.
Ooh, just saying. See, okay. Yeah, okay, so now we're getting we got the time stamps. It's official.
Now it's official. But then he also, like, puts that duct tape corset over himself, which I guess is, like, I don't know.
He's trying to trim up. It's you know.
He was a little heavier than Nick Cage through this film.
Hey, the camera. Well, that's probably why they had the fisheye lens thing going on.
Yeah, they're like, no more about this.
But, I mean, you know, the camera already adds, what, like 10? And then you got the quarantine 15 or whatever.
True.
That may or may not happen, because I didn't gain any weight. I actually lost like 10 pounds.
Oh, really?
But I lost more than that, but I think it was because I had a parasite from when I went too
big. Some people pay good money to get a parasite.
I got one for free.
There you go.
All you have to do is go tubing, and then you get submerged, and you get a big mouth of like fresh, like Michigan, like tubing water.
I was going to say, that's like a very Michigan thing to do anyway, to be like, you just got to go tubing. Like, I don't think I've heard anyone in L.A. be like, do you want to go tubing next week?
You want to go tubing and catch this parasite?
Well, I'm sure people are catching parasites. They're paying good money on the black market for that parasite.
They don't have the top-notch Michigan one, so let me tell you, that shit worked.
Okay, well,
I looked like a chiseled statue for like a week.
I believe you.
Back to the film.
Yeah.
So this movie, from the get-go, it they do this thing where the first people you see are what you think is of no significance whatsoever.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, they cut right in the middle of the action.
Yep. They're like, oh, these people, they're here and they're dying, and then they get chased and they're scared and something's coming after them. And then I found out one of them's name's Carl. The guy's name's Carl because the woman screams, Carl! And then he gets snagged off screen, and then we see a little TV monitor and the lady screaming, and then whoosh, whack. She gets whacked. The blood splatters up on the screen. We get our first kills of the movies. One's off screen, and then the other one, you don't even know if he actually dies. I mean, I guess he dies, but he just gets like yanked down a hallway. So I'm
There's never been any survivors until Nick Cage anyway. So you know that they did die.
Oh, but it's one of those things where it's like, show us something. Because now it sets a trend for the rest of the movie where, like, some of these kills are, like, set up so well.
Yeah, I agree.
And then when it happens, they're the most popcorn, limp fart kills. Not that there's anything bad, though, because there's a lot of good, decent practical effects, and the movie makes the most of a lot of what it has going on. But this was, like, an omen for, like, the rest of the kills in the movie.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about favorite kills already, or?
Yeah, we can get into that.
My favorite kill was the ostrich, When he pulled that spine out, I thought that was metal as fuck.
Yeah, he Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah.
I did like that one. I like that one. I also like when he later on when he curb stomps the gorilla.
Yep,
in the
I
urinal.
Like that one too.
That was funny. The end one, the last kill though, was probably my favorite, just because the end result. The fight actually like sucked ass, but like,
what was the? Remind me, what was the last kill?
The Wally or Willy himself, Willy.
Yeah, you know, I thought that he died too easily for being the boss fight.
But he did take his head off, and I was like, okay, well, that's like the only bit of like actual like gore that I've actually seen.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought ripping the mechanical spine out of the ostrich was
and it hits you kind of early.
It does.
And then it kind of lulls out with some of the other.
Then
ones.
You get more excited with the gorilla kill, and then after that, it's kind of like.
I did love the stupid gorilla.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
So we can catch up to where we're talking about right now, pretty quick here. So basically, after that. The beginning scene where those people get killed, then you see Nick Cage driving down the road as only he can, very fast.
Yes.
And furiously.
I'm just pissed.
Yep, he's pissed. He is chugging fistfuls of caffeinated beverages. But actually, I will point out, I think it said pop.
It did. I noticed that too.
And I appreciate the fuck out of
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm from the zone of pop. And I hear, like, you know, everyone else from other states, they're the sodas and the colas, or we just call it a Coke. Like, you know, we got that too.
Nope.
I'm a pop boy.
It's a pop.
So
I'm
when
from
I
Michigan
saw the pop,
too. It's a, yeah.
I know.
It's a
and
pop
so,
thing.
Yeah, it resonated, and I was like, my boy likes pop. He's driving angry. That's another Nick Cage reference. And then we get spike strips, and he fucks up his car. And then what does he do when he gets out? He slams a fucking. Another pop, or it might have been the first pop.
Do you think he's like just sober? Because he like that pop actually played a pretty strong role.
I think it feels like it's related to like the oil being the blood of the machines. It's like he almost needs the pop.
It does
and the pinball to do anything.
And he like sets that timer too. Sorry, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but
it was good.
Yeah, he kind of had his, like, okay, I need to, like, rev myself back up. Get me my pop. Get my pinball.
Yep.
Now I'm back.
Gotta take those breaks.
Gonna kick some more ass.
Yep, and then this dickhead comes. Well, first of all, before the dickhead comes, you see the janitor, who's just named the janitor. Not only does motherfucker not say anything, motherfucker ain't got a name.
No name.
So we'll call him Guy?
A man of few words.
Bruce. No, I'll just call him Janitor.
Yeah.
Janitor. What a great name. Congratulations. What's the baby's name? Janitor. But
we have high
hopes.
So
he gets hit with the spike strips. He gets out. He drinks the pop, whatever. And then there's this shot where he's just standing there. And you see his shadow pass around him on the ground like a sundial, signifying that he stood there.
Right. That's
all
right.
Night long. And waited for this weird-ass tow truck driver. Who just doesn't shut up. And I understand that's like got to kind of be the thing because it's in contrast to Nick Cage not saying anything at all.
Right.
But he's chewing on a beef stick.
A beef jerky. Yeah. There are a lot of just weird little details in this movie like that.
And I thought it was a cigar.
Me too.
I was like, what are you just like too high sack to, you're too scared to light your cigar? But then I was like, no, I think that's like one of those like 50 cent meat sticks that you can get at the gas station. Out of the little dispensers.
You know what? That's an interesting point. Like, he's not smoking, and that's kind of one of those things that people do when they're trying to quit smoking, you know? Like, they'll suck on beef jerky. Same with the quitting drinking. How Nick Cage was just drinking pop through the whole thing. Interesting. There was no substances in this film.
Maybe that is their, like, weird not saying it without, or saying it without saying it. Thing that this is about like some sort of loosely based on like sobriety or something.
Maybe.
But it's like that's such a fucking reach.
It is, but it's true. It's an interesting observation. But the beef jerky thing was weird. And then making pop such a huge part of it. I mean, I wonder if there isn't something to that. I haven't thought of it until right now, but maybe.
I mainly just thought the beef jerky was funny because I was like, dude, nut up and eat it.
Yeah, just like, I know. Just finish it.
How are you going to sit there with that beef stick in your mouth, like, for days? I'm assuming it's just the same one. And acting
like it's normal.
The guy.
Like, he's pulling it out, talking.
He's very simple.
He's a simple man.
Like, you find out everyone in this town is very simple.
Of course.
This is, like, the worst town in existence. And honestly, they hate to say it, but they probably should have just let the animatronics run wild on the town.
Yeah, there was nothing really to hold on to there.
They don't have internet.
No.
Like, they don't have ATMs, they don't have internet, because that's the other thing. So, okay, so then they drive to the tow truck guy drives back to the garage to basically tell him, hey, sorry, pal, this is going to cost you, like, whatever, like $1,000 or whatever. And too bad if you don't have cash, because our ATMs don't work, and
right.
We also don't have internet, because we're a shit podunk town.
Yeah.
But conveniently, I got a job for you, and I think I know a guy that will fix your car if you go do him a favor. And then basically from there, we get to our first experience with Willy's Wonderland, I believe, the physical location.
Yes. And Nick's face cramps. I mean, I can't imagine how bad his face must hurt. He's like scowling through the entire thing because he had no like dialogue. So it's just a bunch of intense facial expressions.
Yeah, he can only really emote and grunt.
Yeah, yeah.
The grunts kill me. I love them. They're like, there's parts in this movie where it would take me out of the movie, which is fine because it's, you know, it is what it is.
It's Nick Cage.
But when he would slam those, when he would slam those pops,
and like crush them
crush it and grunt like it was some kind of like post-coital clarity that hits him when he drinks it. He's like, ugh. And then, like, back to pinball.
He's so intense. Yeah.
And then the pinball. Oh, we got to talk about the pinball scene. And the first time when he notices the pinball scene, and we have the movie's first, like, softcore sex scene.
Yeah, when he's, like, humping the thing.
He is into that pinball table. His fingers are doing a lot of moving and clicking.
Yeah, everything he did was just super, super intense. Like, even cleaning, I felt like he was just banging shit around. I was like, dude, calm down.
Those scenes kind of made the movie, though.
Yeah.
I thought, honestly. Like, I know that everyone else is in the movie is for the body count,
sure.
Whatever. I think they could have done without that, though. I think they could have honestly had just, like, spent more time on him killing the animatronics, because those had more personality than the kids did.
Oh my god. The kids ruined this movie for me, to be honest. Like, they just drove me insane.
Yeah, I agree. And it felt like every time, and I don't think it's probably their fault, honestly. I think it just felt like there's a lot of scenes in the movie. I think we were talking about this right before we started recording. Where there's a lot of scenes in the movie that felt like it was just the first take, and they were like,
fuck it.
We got it. It's perfect.
Yeah.
We're moving on. I'm taking a break. We're going to play
Burning Daylight.
Yep.
They're just stressed out eating beef jerkies, like taking jerky breaks.
I got to be gone in 60 seconds because I got to drive angry out of here.
Yeah.
So run it.
Nick probably too was on like, I wonder if they just didn't have that much of a budget for it, maybe. And they were just like, we're putting all of that on special effects because.
Well, yeah, they definitely probably spent it all on, like, the costumes and the cleanup and Nick Cage, and then probably on Freebird at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
that was probably
totally
the other,
that's
like,
it.
Third of, or how much of the budget. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably, sure. I mean, Nick probably was like, all right, listen, I got 6 hours a day, get it in and out, and then I'm out of here. And I'm not going to say a fucking word. This dialogue costs extra. Yeah, like, I almost feel like in order to get Nick Cage for this, they had to be like, look, you don't even have to memorize lines. And he probably was like, okay.
I think so. It's probably like, yeah, some Bill Murray stuff from, like, Ghostbusters 2, where he's like, I'm not going to wear the proton pack. That thing's heavy. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's,
like,
but
he probably
Bill Murray.
Was like, I'm not.
You going to argue with him?
Exactly. That's something I thought of. I was like, he must have just been like, I'll only do this film if I don't have to talk.
Right. And from what I understand, he wanted to do the film. So I'm assuming that probably is 100%. He's like, I really want to do this, but the great idea is I don't say a word.
Yeah. Oh, really? So he, like, so you know, you looked into it and you saw that he was stoked on doing this film?
Yeah. Yeah. He picked up the producer role to, like, get the movie made.
Wow. Okay. Well, then it wasn't a creative choice.
I mean, kind of cool. I mean, yeah. I think it's more like he's just like in the YOLO stage.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, you know, like, fuck it. Like,
and he's making the best films because of it. I mean,
oh, his movies,
I don't think this
killer.
Is like the top, but Mandy,
yeah. Well, yeah, it's Color not
Out
Mandy,
Space,
yeah, it's not-
like, he's made some great films lately.
Color Out of Space was really good.
Yeah.
And there's like, that's another one that really used color really good.
Yes.
And effective, and it like didn't hurt my eyes, like,
yeah.
Looking at it, it was like those brilliant colors that you can't even describe, kind of, but they're like pinks and purples and all that shit.
This one, this was one,
it's not bad, it's fun. Yeah. Like, it's that thing you just gotta, once I start thinking about it and I want to be critical about it, then I realize I'm like, you know, this, they're probably way more self-aware than I want to take credit away from them for, you know what I mean? So it's, yeah. Like, I think this is just meant to be just a fun 88 minute fucking cheap horror rental
totally
movie.
Yeah.
But then it's also like, you know, quick cash in too with the whole,
yeah,
five Nights at Freddy's craze that is still to this day going on.
I wonder if they're gonna sell those t-shirts, because I feel like they made a really big deal out of him like changing the shirt every single
right,
time
yeah.
he killed someone.
Yeah, like they did that in Mandy too, like you can go get like pretty much all the shirts or clothes that were worn by him in the movie, I'm pretty sure, like the tiger shirt that he wore.
Right.
In the movie,
yeah.
It would make sense that you do it in this one, especially because that is like the reoccurring thing is him getting fucked up and then doing it all over again, but with a clean slate. Kind
yeah,
of thing,
he keeps putting the shirt. I was wondering why he's even wearing the shirts. Like, no one sees you. Like, you don't have to.
It's one of his. It's got to be one of his like little personal code things or things that he does that we don't know, because they don't tell us jack shit about the character. That is one thing though that I will have to take a little bit away from him.
Yeah.
Is you have characters like the kids where you're forcing, you know, you want us to care about them, or you really don't care that we care about them, but they're there and they're there a little
okay,
too much.
These ones are a couple, and then these and guys kind of have a crush on each other.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then and then you got like the simp kid, where he just like simps for the final girl, and she's like the only one with any kind of common sense. But then you even question that, because she's the one that's like, we got to run in there and I got to set this place on fire because I'm a degenerate arsonist.
Yeah.
You know,
like when they first showed her, I was like, oh no, she's like in those red Doc Martens and she's like, I'm hot and I'm a fucking rebel. Fuck you. You're just like, yep. Who is this girl?
I know who you are. Your name, first name, final, last name, girl.
Yeah. It was not cute. Oh, and then her weird dynamic with that cop. Like, the cop was, like, kind of like her adopted mom in a way, but then also, like, chained her to the radiator and was like, you can piss right. in that bowl or something. Like,
that's,
what?
That's just small town justice. They do that.
But remember, she, like, adopted her.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was also, like, she was just kind of a bitch and a shitty cop, and she was like, well, if I put this girl back into the world, then everybody's going to know what a piece of shit I am. So I better just take care of it. And so I better chain her to the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I don't know. The teenagers just ruined it for me so much.
Teenagers,
I wanted to
yeah.
forgive it over and over again. And then I was like, why do we even have, like, it's all so superfluous. If it was literally just Nick not speaking, cleaning and kicking ass, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, and it, honestly, you don't need to make it as long as like a feature film if you don't want to.
Right.
Like, you could make a short film that isn't a minute long. You know, you could make like an hour long.
Find
one
a compromise right in the middle.
Just him.
Take right, this yeah. film, cut all the teenagers out of it, and then it's going to be great.
Or you double down on it. Because, like, that's another thing I wanted to bring up about this movie, is this movie toes the line in so many ways, and it goes just far enough, but then it doesn't go as far as I'd like it to when it gets there at those moments. Like, if this movie cranked it to 11 in some of these moments, I think it'd be a lot more memorable than just the Nick Cage moments. I think they could have done a lot more to make some of these things happen. Like, when the kids get killed, a lot of them are like in the dark or kind of so fast, and it's like, you know, I hate these kids.
So really give it to me. Yeah.
I really want this to happen. But at the same time, like, I feel like the blue balls are coming in, because, like, you're not going to do anything that cool. And these characters really suck.
Yeah.
So it's like,
Yeah.
I want to see Biff drive into the truck of manure, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like they really kind of held back on stuff. Did you, I don't know if this was just me, but I kind of got this satisfaction seeing the rooms before and after getting clean. Like, yes. This HGTV level of, like, before and after shots. I was like, oh, that's so satisfying.
Yep. And he's gotta be a little OCD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If not a lot. Because, like, the scene where he cleans the bathroom and then he leaves and then he comes back and the gorilla... The invisible gorilla had written a happy birthday on the mirror in marinara sauce or blood or whatever that is.
Yeah.
It looked kind of like pizza sauce. And then he's going stall by stall trying to find him, and the gorilla's talking shit.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That was a fun scene. I did think, like, he would clean a room and then he'd kick ass and there's like oil and blood and he's like fucked up the wall and you're like, oh no, you just cleaned that. Like, I know that's not the point, but I was like, oh, that's going to suck. Like,
oh, I know. And then he does it.
He does.
And he's like, oh, but he's got the work-life balance, though, down to the T, because then when that alarm goes off and then it's break time and he'll leave the kids hanging. He literally
doesn't give a fuck. Yeah.
He let all those dumb kids die.
He doesn't care.
As that happened, I was like, you got to take mental breaks, man. Fuck those
kids. I love that. I like that element. Like, I felt like the simplicity of his character was very much like just simple. Just like, look, I have to get my car fixed. In order to get my car fixed, I have to clean this place. I don't care what obstacles come up. I don't care what, happens as a result of my actions, other than I'm going to do what I set out to do and get my car and get the fuck out of here. Which is why at the very end, when he takes that girl with him, I was kind of bummed. Because it didn't add up to, like, how his character was the whole time. I was really hoping he was going to, like, leave her and just go on with his life. Like,
He should have.
Mom. I was, like, kind of annoyed by that. Because I was also like, are they going to date now? Like, they have, like, a huge age gap. Like, ooh, it's kind of weird.
This is why dialogue is important, though.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing where they half measure it. They show you what happens. They leave. I guess you don't, again, we don't need to know. She drinks his pop. Who cares? She's a silent, you know, degenerate arsonist that's going to ride around with this old man now.
Sure.
Cool. But I don't know. It's a little wonky.
Yeah, because it's like he doesn't seem like he has any paternal feeling towards her or romantic. None. But then you're like, so why'd he take her?
He does stare at her a couple times, really weird.
But I didn't get any. I feel like.
But I think he's just weird. I think he's just a weird guy.
Yeah. Because
then he waves at the old haggy sheriff too when he like goes out to get rid of the chameleon corpse or whatever. He just like sticks his hand up, waves at her, and somehow she catches him on the way back to the building. This old lady was like the worst sheriff of all time.
Yeah. I want to believe that Nick Cage just leaves her somewhere. She just bugged the shit out of me through the whole movie. And you're right, she was like the one teenager with any sense at all, but it wasn't a lot. It wasn't enough to save her for me.
No, not at all. No, they should have all gone.
They really should have all died.
Like I said, they should have let the whole town have it, honestly. Yeah. I was kind of hoping you'd get some like batshit crazy swerve, though, where like, let's say Nick Cage was an animatronic.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be cool.
And maybe he was like, you know, he was an animatronic that wanted to look like a human so that he could kill these fucking sleazeball animatronics.
Yes.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense, but it would have been
kind of
fun. Or
like he was sent to the town.
Or he dies during one of the fights.
And comes back as one of the
And comes back in the body of the other ones, and they have an animatronic fight
that
to the death.
That would also be a...
And then he kills the girl, and Willy's Wonderland's just a pile of corpses, and he's just an animatronic staying on stage at the end going, it's your birthday.
Yeah. Or just saying nothing, because he doesn't talk.
That would be disappointing, yeah, if the first words that came out of his mouth were as an animatronic, and it was that stupid birthday song.
Yeah, that would really suck. What I did like that we didn't even mention is the whole backstory to Willy's Wonderland. The whole, like, satanic, kind of John Wayne Gacy-esque murder cult that they had there. That was cool.
Yeah. So, okay, so that was. He started... There's some inconsistencies, too. And this is where I wonder about the Five Nights at Freddy's thing, because I know a little too much about that children's game. But there's a lot of, like, deep lore in that game.
Okay.
And in this one, they say that this restaurant was made in 1996 by a serial killer who used it to get other serial killers.
No, it was serving family, right? Since 1984.
That's what I was going to say, though, is the person explaining it straight up says 1996.
Oh, when they're talking about the film?
Yes. And then the song that plays, the Willy's Wonderland song, says that line about
serving family since 1984. Yeah.
It's an inconsistency that reminds me of a plot point from that game.
Interesting.
Where it was like an older company where something bad happened and then they rebranded and moved somewhere else.
Hmm.
So I wonder if there was like more to it that they didn't record, or there's like more to that.
Yeah.
That we don't know about.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that. Yeah. You know what I was just thinking too about the whole sobriety thing, which that's probably me projecting because I've been sober now for like 110 days or something.
Right. Yeah. Same.
Oh, really? How long have you been sober?
Oh, geez. Alcohol, like a long time.
Oh, okay. Wow. Good for you.
Cigarettes. Yeah. I'm off the cigarettes.
Nice. I haven't
smoked cigarettes since like, I've had a couple. I broke the rules a couple times, but like, daily cigarettes since like Thanksgiving.
Oh, good for you. That's rad.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. But I was going to say, like, I could be projecting just because of my own sobriety. But I was just thinking, like, we talked about the cigarettes and the alcohol. That boss fight that we were saying was too easy, he filled a sack full of pop. Remember?
Yes.
That's how he killed him.
Yes.
Which must have been tough for him.
He took that motherfucker down.
He did.
Ripped his head off.
And he, like, duct taped two halves of a broomstick together for some reason. Like, I don't know.
I love his innovation.
Very innovative. Yeah,
the broomstick, when he goes straight up, like, G.I. Joe or whatever on the ostrich, that was pretty good.
Yes. I thought that was a great kill. I liked that.
That was good. Now let's talk about the animatronics themselves.
Yes.
For a little bit.
Okay.
Most of them I liked. Don't hate me for this. The siren was like weird.
She was weird.
I couldn't get down with the siren.
She was really trippy. Like her little like treehouse world was kind of cool.
Right. Oh, no, that was cool. But like the fact that she was like a person.
Yeah. Like she was like an actual human being.
Yeah, that I couldn't get over.
Yeah,
it.
Like it and wasn't it, an actual took, animatronic.
This is fucking.
It's an inconsistency again.
It's doo doo.
And she's the one that survives. Like, remember?
Right, and she seems to be like she can like fly around and shit.
Yeah.
Even like, but then again, who am I to complain about? You know, suspension of disbelief, like. They also had a monkey that was like, must have been hiding above a toilet stall. I don't know where he came from when they were fighting the gorilla. He comes out of the toilet stall, but he's not there. And then he just like comes, swoops down and kicks him.
Maybe I don't know.
It's hell portals. They have hell portals within this place and they just portal to portal.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed though that Sarah, the siren, Sarah without an H, the siren, she was like a person in an outfit, which was really annoying. I agree.
Right. And that's another thing. If it's going to do something weird like that, that takes somebody out of the movie, maybe explain, like, maybe there should be a reason she's like a person. Maybe she was a person and then like something happened and now she's like this freakazoid, you know, siren chick, animatronic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff.
But all, overall, though, I kind of liked that all of the animatronics kind of had their own theme. That was kind of fun. I liked the one that manipulated the one guy who was like, oh, I'm different than the other.
The chameleon.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense. It's like, oh, a chameleon. Like, this is actually, like, probably, honestly, one of the more clever things in the movie that you have a chameleon
I liked that
lures out. But then again, the kid is so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
He is probably easily the dumbest one. Yeah. Because he's simping for the girl that went into the house, and he's like so stupid that he's just gonna follow her in there thinking that she's gonna like date him or something like that.
Well, he also calls the sheriff and they're just like, don't worry about
You're it. Right. You're right. Oh, that's funny too, where basically, yeah, they have the state police officer with the sheriff basically saying, like, what am I here for? And she's like, you're here to stare at this phone.
And you hope and it don't ring. Rings.
Yeah, the phone rings and she's like, fuck these kids. It's a joke. He's like, what?
Yeah, but you realize later it's because she's trying to, like...
Oh, yeah. And that, too, I was just like, come on. This old lady, really? Like, there's not one smart person in this town. They just believe what this old haggy lady says?
It's... Yeah.
But I guess they don't have internet, so you know how fast does information travel down in wherever.
I wasn't sure if they actually didn't have internet or if that was just, like, a lie. Because it
probably a lot.
Yeah, there's also kind of that element of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, small town. You shouldn't be around these parts. Kind of a feel.
Live within their own like ecosystem, like the village.
Yeah,
where they don't have internet. Doesn't mean that they know the rest of the county doesn't have internet.
Right, that's true. Yeah, it's a very weird kind of its own. But yeah, I think probably my favorite scene in the entire movie was the dance scene. Of Nick Cage dancing with the pinball machine. That was the best. I was like, he's got these moves, just killing it.
Right. Well, it's like the movie is also like him going on like a long extended date with this pinball machine.
See, I didn't get the romantic sexual aspect, but I see where you're going with it.
Oh, watch it again.
Okay.
It's like it starts with like the finger clicking and just like he is into this pinball machine, and then he cleans it up, he restores it, and he's playing it. And at first he's just playing it, whatever. He's chugging his caffeinated drink. And then it starts getting more aggressive.
I was taking it as like adrenaline from
that too, and I think he's just going crazy because, yeah. Like, I'm a gamer. You know, there's been so many times I've stayed up for 2 or 3 days on like Mountain Dew alone, and when you're up that long, you just start doing crazy, saying crazy
fucking
shit.
Machines.
You start saying weird shit and getting like, you know, getting a little too into.
I fuck a machine just as much as the next guy, but
hey, we're not too far into the future. We're there.
But I thought that whole scene was iconic.
It was great. And I like those scenes, too, because it let the actual soundtrack shine a little bit. And I think the actual soundtrack wasn't that bad. Like, there was even one of the little songs that they sing before the kid gets stabbed by the night sword, the fucking weirdest animatronic.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about it's like six something and now there's five. Like six little animals.
Yeah, yeah.
And letting you know that, hey, like one of these dumb motherfuckers is going to die.
Right. It was the first teenager to die, I think.
I think so. And that, like, that song, I was like, oh, that's actually not that bad in contrast to the fucking, you know, head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Yeah.
And, like, all
right.
That shit. But the actual, like, soundtrack wasn't that bad. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think overall? Oh, we were talking about, for this show, as a consistency, instead of giving 1 out of 5 stars, we were going to choose like an item that's specific to the film. What was your rating and what item did you choose for this one?
My rating for Willy's Wonderland is I gave Willy's Wonderland 2.5 or 2.5. We'll say 2.5.
Sure.
It sounds better. I'm giving Willy's Wonderland 2.5 fistfuls of caffeine out of 5.
I knew we were going to choose a close thing. I actually ended up giving it 3 Willy's Wonderland Punch Pops, is what he called them.
Hey!
So we said the same thing, fistful of caffeine, Punch Pops.
Yep, yours is just a little more elaborate and top shelf than mine, and that's as the way it should be.
Absolutely. But yeah, I thought overall this movie was fun, in a lighthearted dollar store candy in your trick-or-treat bag kind of way.
Yeah.
Not the best thing ever, but it was still fun. Nick Cage not saying a word through the whole thing, I thought was a really interesting gimmick. The acting was terrible, but I stayed entertained. So yeah, I'd say 3.
He makes up for it. Yeah, he makes up for it, I'd say.
Yeah, there was never a part in it that I was like, I'm turning this off. This is awful.
No. There is some acting, though, that is so bad it's good. not the sheriff. She's actually like a veteran actress.
She's a good actor. Many movies. Yeah, I didn't think she was that actor.
She's good, and she's so great at playing the person that you just don't like in those movies.
Even the simple guy with the like beef jerky cigar, I thought was a good actor.
Yes, he was. But the poor state policeman.
When he's in
the car with the girl, I think her name's Liv. I think it's Liv.
The sheriff lady?
The final girl.
Oh, the girl that gets left. Red Doc Martens girl?
Yes. And he's talking to her and she's like, "What are you, like a murderer? You're a murderer."
Oh, right. Blah, blah, blah.
And he like stops the car and he like has this like almost room-esque like bootlicking bullshit.
Yeah.
And like, oh, his delivery. It was just
even when he's sitting in the office with the sheriff with the red phone, his acting is just like terrible. It's so cornball and bad.
I know. But it got to the point where I was like, I actually like that guy. Fuck those kids.
I didn't
though.
Dislike
those
him. Yeah, the kids were terrible. That one girl who was like chewing bubble gum, I was like, where did they find, like, did they just get on Instagram and just go, "Hey, what are you guys doing this afternoon? Like, do you guys want to come over?
Maybe.
We'll pay you $200 for the day." Like,
"Hey, we rented out this bowling alley and we turned it into a fake Chuck E. Cheese. You want to come shoot some stuff?"
All our money on Nick Cage.
But I get to hang out with Nick Cage. Yeah, but he's not going to say anything. He's just going
to
play.
You're not allowed to look at him.
He's going to make love to a pinball machine.
Yeah, like, I mean, but you know, it was fun. I really thought it was fun.
It was. And I'll say this too, if you've ever seen the Banana Splits movie that came out like 2 years ago, you will automatically like this movie more than that one.
Okay, so there's a bar that's at least set. It wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen, and honestly,
no,
I even thought
at
the
not
end
at
even though I hated the teenagers and I wish they had better actors for that. But at the end, I was like, I probably wouldn't have changed anything. I thought it was still fun.
Yeah, and I'd recommend.
I would too. It's like you have to see it, but
for sure,
it's no Mandy.
No, and you know what? And if you do watch this and you don't like it, just go watch Mandy.
Palate cleanser.
I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point.
Yeah, I felt like Mandy was like Hellraiser with Nick Cage on acid.
Oh, yeah, and it's a, like, vengeance flick. Those movies fucking rule.
With that action vengeful twist
and
to it.
And the whole acid trip
aesthetic,
too, is fucking great.
Yeah, very, very good. All right, so next week, did you choose a film? So we should tell listeners, our plan for what movies we're going to watch, we want you guys to choose. So Tub and I are both going to choose a movie. We're going to make our argument for why we think it'd be a good film. But then we are going to post on our Instagram. It's Tub. Wait, what? It was TJ Watch Movies. It's at TJ Watch Movies.
Yes.
I'm like, what was it again? And you can vote on which movie you want to watch or you want us to review.
Yes, go vote.
Go vote.
When it's up and you see it, go vote.
When you see it and it's up, just believe in us. We're getting started. But yes, definitely vote. We want to see what you want to hear about. But yeah, what was your vote? I'm curious.
For this week, I'm going to go with one of my favorite movies of the last couple of years in horror.
Okay.
And it's a Shudder exclusive. We've talked about it before. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's called Host.
Host.
And it's Host, and it's on Shudder. And essentially, it's about a Zoom call. And this was recorded and filmed in the beginning of the quarantine for COVID. So they actually recorded this film over a Zoom call. And it's brilliant. It's about a Zoom call seance that gets out of hand, and the way they get creative with the movie. And it's another one with a really short runtime, but it's short and sweet, and it really hits on a lot of things really well. And I think that'd be a great one.
That's sweet, using Zoom to film it. That's like any movie I feel like that either does a lot with a very low budget, like even lower than Willy's Wonderland,
right.
or that has like a creative way of telling their story, I always really appreciate and respect that. So yeah, I would be down. My vote is for a movie called Luz. It's spelled L-U-Z. It's a German horror thriller.
Okay.
And I'll read the quick synopsis. If you watch the trailer, it doesn't give a lot away, which I love.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, but it's it came out in 2019. It's about a young cab driver fleeing from the grasp of a possessed woman whose confession could endanger the lives of everyone who crosses her path. So I don't know, but it's been recommended to me, but it's in German, so excellent. Subtitles.
I will watch any movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. Most any movie.
Most any movie.
If it makes it on this poll and you vote for it, I will watch
it. We will. That we promise.
I'll make you a deal right now as a listener. We will watch
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe what we'll do is if people keep listening and start making suggestions, we can take it out of the suggestion pool and just be like, well, like this is one I picked from the pool.
Let your voices be known. If you have something you want to spitball at us, shoot us a message on Instagram.
Yeah, TJ, right? TJ Watch Movies, Tub and Jonesy.
TJ Watch Movies.
Yeah, it's at TJ Watch Movies. I made it like 2 minutes before we started recording today. So
the wheels hit the ground. We're running. We're going.
Hit the ground running. All right. Yep. So that's it. So next week, it's either going to be Luz or Host. Put your vote in. We want to see what you want to hear us review, and we're looking forward to it.
Me too. I am extremely excited for next week. I'm happy that we're finally able to get this going and that I'm no longer dead to the world and that we were able to kick it off with a Nick Cage movie where he just destroys animatronics.
No better movie. I wish it would have been Mandy.
Right, and now we have to have like a Nick Cage cool off period. So, but we'll get to Mandy. We'll get there.
Okay. Well, I will see you next week.
Yes, indeed.
And to listeners, thank you for listening. Bye.
See you guys.